Today's reading is from Luke 1, 39 through 45. At the time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you, young woman, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Dear God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Announcements about babies being born to unexpected women in the Bible is not new with Mary. That was new to me. But as we heard in the story of Abraham and Sarah, and then from Samson's mother, and then Hannah, the mother of Samuel, each time in the story, an angel delivered a message that sounded unfamiliar at best and unbelievable at worst. They said, "To you is going to be born a son." Now, some of the stories, like Sarah's announcement story that she overheard while standing by the door of the tent, as the angel told her husband, it caused her to burst out in laughter. And other announcement stories caused for the women to run to their husbands, like Manoah's wife did. Manoah asked God to send the angel back because he had missed the announcement. And God did, but then just to the wife again. Yes, it is funny. Because she ran to him again and said, "But the angel's here again." And when she went and got him, the angel waited for her to come back. That's big stuff, right? And then the angel was full of all sorts of advice on how to raise the child. Very fun read in Judges, right? But then the child Samson became a leader chosen by God to lead the Israelites. So I'm telling you all of this to let you know that Mary's story was not completely unique. I have to tell you, I was this old before I put that together with the help of Amy Jill Levine's Bible study. I thought this story was special because it was the only one like it. But it's not. It's not. It's special because of the announcement that it held. The characteristics that remind us of those birth narratives from the Old Testament, but also the uniqueness of Mary. Because Mary was unlike those women of the Old Testament that we've been learning about. Or the ones that she's compared with, like even this Aunt Elizabeth, this relative Elizabeth. Mary was not barren. She did not seek a child. She was not getting on in years, as Elizabeth's husband had said of her. She had not prayed desperately to be a mother, at least not in any evidence we have. But on the heels of this announcement from Zechariah regarding the son that he and Elizabeth will share that will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, we hear about Mary. In the sixth month, it says. That's how we first hear about this young girl. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we get introduced to her descendant, a descendant of the line of David, Mary. And another angel, another announcement, and more information about this son that this girl will bring into the world. And the angel tells Mary about Elizabeth with this memorable line, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Just after we hear of Mary accepting the angel's announcement and owning it with a, "Here I am, servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." When you read Mary, is that how you read it? Yeah, this woman, this young girl out in the middle of this field, right? Can you just picture her? Like, just putting her arms up there and say, here I am, okay. If that's what you say, God, let's do it. Yeah. Such obedience. Such care, such devotion. Such willingness. Oh. I wonder if there was fear, too. But right after she says proudly that, here I am, we get the story for today that Gabe read to us of Mary going to Elizabeth. And we get to hear the words of their greeting and of this baby that leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And we hear this question of Mary, why am I so favored? And then we get everlasting words of encouragement for all of us. Blessed is she who has believed. Blessed is she who has believed. In this scripture, it says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Blessed is she. Blessed indeed, and yet there's opportunity for so much more to come. That first candle we lit, the candle of hope, the first candle of Advent this year, a prayer that God might have heard uttered from those mothers' lips in the Old Testament or even from our own to be with child. This idea of hope universally found in the symbol of a baby. A baby holds hope and potential and new beginning and fresh opportunity. For the mothers that we spoke of today and this hope of the baby, there was more than just this idea that they would cradle them in their arms, but this concept of fulfillment, of a promise in marriage, a means to life after death, after their spouse passes away, a reason for them to be remembered. Hope comes in many forms and with many words of prayer uttered around it, each entangled with wishes and desires and desperations, ours, right? Those of us who dare enough to offer words to our longing. In Romans, we hear that we should be joyful in hope. As part of our love in action, how we could serve God, we should be joyful in hope. But with Mary, we don't hear that necessarily. We don't know much about her hope. We know that she's a youth who is known by God that was chosen to bring into the world Jesus. Mary was asked to behold the one that was to be sent by God. Now, we'll hear about the star in the weeks to come, but boy, good job, Brian, on the lighting of that. Elizabeth doesn't know how it happened, so just leave it there. Right? But this star is just a symbol for us of the star that the Magi followed to find Jesus, to find Bethlehem, the star that rose and shone over the place where the child was, so they knew where to go. It was their map or their directions was a star. And so we have a star today to remind us of the light that we'll sing about over the next few weeks, the light that's made its way into many of our manger scenes and our Christmas story, the star. Friends, I would invite you this Advent season to embrace this feeling of hope. I think that's the best way to describe hope. It's a feeling, right? One that beckons you to look forward, not backwards or sideways, but forward, so that your whole body and your whole spirit are turned in the direction for where you are going. Physically move yourself sometime this week and point your body to the stars. And then wonder and dream and look up at them and imagine the possibilities and then laugh at the unbelievable things that have happened under the stars. A star is to be a light in the darkness, and it can guide us. It's part of our solar system, the same one that holds the sun and the moon and our planet. The star not only shines, but can be a reassuring sign of God's presence, of God's promise, of God's love. But we have to look, or you will not see. Love in action. We have to look, or we will not see. We have to want to see them, to put ourselves in a place where we can. That's the hope part. going and finding a place where you dare enough to look. Then you have to believe them, the stars, God, and let it be present for you. Beyond the warm feelings of hugs and I love yous, which are great, I wonder what fills your heart with that awe and childlike amazement this season. What do you desire? What brings you fullness? What is it that will propel you forward enough to keep you looking straight ahead? What encourages you and warms your soul and connects you to the divine and allows the divine to connect to you? Because that is the love of this season. Connecting to God. Mary walked about 7 nights to get to Elizabeth. That's 7 nights under the stars that she could get a glimpse of those lights. And out of love, she followed the stars to find comfort. I laugh because I wonder what love you guys have found under the stars. What comfort, right? Yeah. What peace. What excitement that can only happen when the stars are out. Like hope, like the stars, we have to look for love and to make space for it. And if we keep our focus on the star, on Jesus, and if we look forward, and if we think that things are possible, and we believe that with God all things are possible, then we can let our lives be filled this Advent season with hope and love. Dear friends, I pray that you have hope. I pray that you follow the star with love. Amen.